Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Yes, you can listen online at WKOK.com. And I know we've had listeners from Florida to Maryland to Iowa to New Hampshire listening online. Interesting. And our number 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline. This show is brought to you today by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can always go online at REWfinancial.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, a couple notes for you. Dealing with college football, love college football. The Atlantic Coast Conference agreeing to a 12-year deal with ESPN for the rights to televise the Orange Bowl, with the conference champion, the ACC, facing either Notre Dame or a team from the Big Ten or SEC. Deal was announced today. It begins in January 2015, runs through 2026. ESPN.com previously reported that the network will pay about $55 million per year for the game. Under the new deal, the Orange Bowl will be played either December 31st or January 1st. Also today, Bill Hancock was hired by the conference commissioners and university presidents to be the executive director of the playoff system that starts in 2014. Hancock has been the executive director of the Bowl Championship Series for the past 3 years. And the Sugar Bowl also gets a 12-year deal, which coincides with all this playoffs. That's why the 12 years. Big 12 and SEC have agreed to a 12-year deal with ESPN for the rights of the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Deal worth about $80 million per year through 2026. Big 12 and SEC recently picked the Sugar Bowl as the site of the new marquee game, starting with the 2014 season. Conference champions of each conference will play in the game, unless those teams are selected for the 14 playoff that also starts that season. In that case, other highly ranked teams from the Big 12 and SEC will play in the Sugar Bowl. Sugar Bowl is one of the six sites for the playoff rotation, along with the Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl, and three other sites still to be determined. Those three other sites, the favorites are the Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Those are the three favorites for the other three spots. They haven't announced it yet, but expect those three to get it, which will put it in Glendale, Arlington, and the Georgia Dome, because the Cotton Bowl's in Jerry World. And ESPN's deal with the Sugar Bowl calls for it to be broadcast even in years that host the playoffs. ESPN earlier reached a 12-year deal, same price. The Rose Bowl, $80 million a year, Pac-12, Big Ten. A 12-year agreement between ESPN and the Orange Bowl was announced today. And the network will pay $55 million per year for the Orange Bowl, $80 million for the Sugar Bowl, $80 million for the Rose Bowl. And, of course, they have a 12-year deal for the entire playoff package of 24 semifinals and 12 national championship games, along with the three other host bowls, and the entire thing worth $500 million. Now you know why ESPN is the single most profitable arm of Disney. The Big Mouse does not have contracts like this. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Big cash. And we're waiting for the MVP awards to be announced. American and National Leagues expected to be Buster Posey. And the controversy is over whether Miguel Cabrera can hold off Mike Trout. Again, we go back to the start of the show. Triple crown winner. Team made playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. And Trout, he will get his day. We talked about this with the Golden Gloves and Adam Jones, and everyone was mad that Trout didn't get it. But I promise everyone, he will.
Sarah, we'll mark you down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, please do. I'm usually right about these things.
I know you are. No, I trust your intuition completely. He's only 20 years old, Trout. Fabulous. And it's not as if this is not an old boy network thing. 1975, Fred Lynn won the American League Rookie of the Year and was the MVP. He did both. Should be pointed out, the Red Sox won their division and went to the World Series that year, too. Despite Trout's best efforts, and they were tremendous efforts, they did not. And that, to me, has to figure into this somewhere. I know one year Andre Dawson won the MVP award and the Cubs finished in last place. I know that. The numbers were so phenomenal and off the charts. But this is the Triple Crown winner. You get one every 45 years. You have 45 years since Yaz won it in 67. And Cabrera had an absolutely phenomenal year. The top three spending teams in baseball over the years have been the Yankees, the Phillies, and the Red Sox. The Red Sox unloaded $250 million in salaries with the trade with the Dodgers. Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, and of course, I'm still stunned they gave up Nick Punto. Well, the Red Sox evidently are willing to go back in the market, and Ben Cherington, the general manager of the Red Sox, says they will still be in the top three when this is all said and done. There is a lot of talk now. The Red Sox are going to go after Josh Hamilton. Now, the Orioles want Josh Hamilton as well. But Josh Hamilton appears to be the target the Red Sox want. Big money. Also talking about a starting pitcher. They also get, and for the lack, who knows if this will work or not, but they also get John Lackey back next year. Long-term commitment to him. He's done nothing for them. But he's coming off Tommy John surgery. Elbow should be stronger than ever. Unless, of course, you're on the medical staff of the Washington Nationals. Also starting tomorrow. This is actually Sarah's idea. I think I'm surprising her with the fact we're starting this tomorrow. Our weekend picks. And we're able to start this. The reason we're starting this tomorrow and didn't start it before is because, okay, I'm not traveling on Fridays for a long time, for a couple months here. So we're going to make our weekend picks tomorrow, and her has to get involved in this.
Yep, that's right. I'm ready.
The entire goal of this is to emotionally bury him. I'm quoting your email now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she didn't write that. I ad-libbed that. But this is actually your idea.
Yes, this is my idea because I think that it will be fun. And then at the end, when I or, you know, whomever is victorious.
Yes, yes.
I believe we have some sort of bet on this.
What do the other two have to eventually do for you? Get you dinner someplace?
Yeah, I believe it's some sort of dinner. Now, Kevin had already promised McDonald's.
A spa gift certificate?
Yeah, listen.
Or the usual Kevin Herr Ronald McDonald bucks.
Right, he did. He talked about that. So we'll see. By tomorrow, we'll pick. But this will be fun. We'll all put our picks in. Now, of course, there is a game tonight, so, you know, maybe I should...
Nah, I'm not worried about the game.
Okay, tonight.
Okay, we're not going to worry about Thursday night football. Got it. We're going to talk about college football and pro football for the weekend.
Perfect.
Okay? We've already marked you in for the next several weeks picking the Ravens.
I have to. Also, they're probably going to win, but I have to.
This is a cruel crowd.
I can't wait to see Kevin's pick for the Ravens-Steelers game on Sunday. Wow.
He may just put down present. Work for one Illinois senator.
Well, that's true.
That dude voted present a lot. Now look where he is. So we'll see. You know, and then we'll put that down. Okay? Some select college football games like Penn State, Indiana, USC, UCLA, Notre Dame, Wake Forest. You know, we'll pick a few others along the way, too. Okay? Then, of course, the entire NFL slate. And we'll take this right up to the Super Bowl. We'll mix in some college basketball along the way, too, just to kind of, you know, keep it. You know, once we get past bowl season, you know, mix in a little hoop.
Great.
All right, so we'll do that. But they'll do this every Friday. We'll keep a running tab on who does well in picking games. All right? And go from there. Now, Kevin will be a part of this. And right now he is a conflicted lad because of the Ben Roethlisberger injury. Ben is hurt and is out. So that's what we're going. We're going to do that every Friday. Have a little bit of fun. You can then keep track yourself as to how we're doing. Make fun of the picks on Monday or even on Friday when we make them. Quick story, Charlotte Bobcats. You're like, Charlotte Bobcats? What the heck are they talking about the Charlotte Bobcats for? They're 4-3 in the year. You know what's significant about that, Sarah?
I do not.
This is November the 15th. They already have half as many wins as they did all of last season. They only won seven games last year. They were, 7-59 or some number. So they're doing okay. They're doing okay. Now, did you see? Now, let's get to the TMZ report. This is the part Kevin loves here.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Stephens, former Seahawks tight end. And
yep.
U.S. soccer goalkeeper Hope Solo were married this week after an altercation that left Stevens in jail and their wedding plans up in the air.
I did see that.
Kings.com in Seattle reported Solo and Stevens were married Tuesday night in a small ceremony near Sahumish, Washington. Only close friends and family were in attendance along with parole officers. Solo's friends describing the wedding as beautiful. Dave Mailer, a sports talk host on Seattle's KGR, also tweeted, confirmed Jeremy Stephens and Hope Solo were married tonight. Events of yesterday morning didn't change plans. Sounds like more facts coming. Stephens was arrested early Monday morning for fourth-degree domestic violence, but was not charged. He was eventually released when a Kirkland Municipal Court judge ruled that there was no evidence connecting him to the assault. Kirkland police said the case was still under investigation and charges could also be brought later if prosecutors and police find other evidence, a police spokesman said. Stevens, 33, Solos, 31, applied for a marriage license November 8th, according to the King County records. Okay. In the police report, Stevens said he and Solo had been arguing over whether they would live in Washington or Florida after the marriage. That is kind of a big thing. You're talking 3,000 miles apart.
Right. It's not a couple states.
Okay. You know, it's not like saying, you know, do you want to live in Oregon? Do you want to live in Washington? No. They want to. It's either Washington or Florida. Now, one of the reasons to live in Florida is no state income tax. Let's see. According to Solo, then appeared in the courtroom Tuesday but left without saying anything to reporters. Police at Kirkland responded to a disturbance at a home around 3:45 in the morning involving a physical altercation between eight people during a party. That's a big number. He said officers contacted several people in the home who appeared intoxicated and didn't cooperate with police but determined, based on information and observations, that there was probable cause to arrest Stevens for investigation of fourth-degree assault. Murray did not identify the alleged victim, but court records show it was Hope Solo who received a cut to her elbow. Court documents show that Solo's 34-year-old brother Marcus called 911 and that he and Solo told officers there was a party and blamed the disturbance on 2 to 3 unknown men who were at the party. Marcus Solo told police he used a stun gun on one of the men who left the party before police arrived. According to court documents, a police officer found Stevens, who appeared to be hiding, lying between the bed and the wall in an upstairs bedroom. Stevens told officers that he was sleeping on the floor and didn't hear the fight. The officers saw signs of a fight and dry blood on Stevens' shirt. The officer noted in his affidavit for probable cause for the arrest that he arrested Stevens based on his admission that he argued with Hope Solo the injury to his elbow, signs of a fight in the bedroom where Stevens was found, and blood on Stevens' shirt. One 32-year-old woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with a hip injury. Another man suffered multiple bumps, scrapes, and other contusions. This is quite a party. If officers find that an assault may have taken place, then we may have to make an arrest on who's the primary aggressor. Stevens was selected 28th overall pick, Seahawks, played for University of Washington. He was also involved in incidents away from the football field that included reckless driving charges for crashing into a nursing home. That's reckless driving. Yeah. He was mostly a first-round bust with the Seahawks, except in 2005 when he started a career-high 12 games, 45 receptions, helped the Seahawks to the NFC Championship where they lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. He was also arrested on reckless driving in 2003 in a Seattle suburb, and in 2007 he was charged with DUI in Scottsdale, Arizona. Stevens' most recent arrest came in 2010. He was playing with Tampa Bay. He was arrested the night before a game for possession of marijuana, released almost immediately by the team. Okay, why didn't you marry this guy?
This is my whole question. I mean, he's a bust just in general as well. And I love Hope Solo, and she can kick some butt. So, and wow. the other thing is, I love talking about celebrities like this because, really, why don't you just buy a house in Washington and Florida? You probably have the money.
You probably do. I don't see what the, Look, when you have paper, you can do a lot of things. Hey, the bottom line is, you have some paper, you can do a lot of things. Simple as that. They obviously have some paper. He may, whether he's, quote, considered a bust in the NFL or not, he made money.
That's true. I mean, they have to have money. But did you see that 30 for 30 broke about how?
Well, that's sad. That, you know what? Jack Ham and I talked about that. And he knows some guys that have been destitute down and out that have needed help. And the 30 for 30 broke, you're right, Sarah, is a really, it's a poignant piece.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener. It was really interesting to see.
Tell you a quick story. I know we have a break. I'll tell the story after the break, okay? Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit rewfinancial.com. We'll tell that story in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
And Sarah brought up the 30 for 30. A friend of mine went to the 2005 Heisman Trophy presentation the year that Reggie Bush won. The runner-up that year was Vince Young of Texas. He told me that Vince Young got up and was classy to Bush and to Matt Leinart and so forth, and then turned and left and was not really all that pleased that he didn't win. He wasn't happy at all. He said what was interesting, though, is that he got up and 20 to 25 people got up and left with him. His entourage, his posse. Some were family members, others were friends. Part of that 30 for 30 deals with too many hangers-on. You may make bad investments, but a lot of these guys that are getting bonuses, big contracts, have a lot of people around them that are just that are hangers-on. I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms that they will respect you much more if you live your own life and then are also friends with them instead of leeching off of them. Just a thought.
Sounds about right.
But see, 20 to 25 people got up and left with him out of side door. Who, I mean, you know, some of them are family, so I completely understand that. But that's absurd. I mean, to have that many people around you. All right, today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit Rick at rewfinancial.com. We'll come back, final half hour of the show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484. You can always go to rewfinancial.com. Rick will take great care of you. And good Thursday afternoon to Lee, who always is an absolute pleasure to be around. And again, Rick, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, Rick will take care of you as if it's his own. He can't ask for any better than that. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline open. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, you can always go to LenapeSolar.com. Sarah Bartlett on board, as always. Great to have her on board. And starting tomorrow, we go predictions.
I just want to say I'm pretty good at this, and I will vouch, and I think Kevin will vouch for this, because I said this on the Bucknell trip to Georgetown. I said, Alabama's going to lose to Texas A&M tonight.
Well, you got it.
And look what happened.
That's right. Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Johnny Football got it done. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about the Heisman today. I do not have a Heisman vote. I am not eligible to have a Heisman vote. And the reason I am not eligible, and Dave Jones explained this to me because he's in charge of it for the state. Dave told me, Dave and I have been friends for a long time. And I think the line is that because Penn State pays me to broadcast the games, he said, Steve, you'd be really fair. I know that. But that's one of the rules that they have, which is fine. I understand. That's why I don't have a Heisman vote. Now, I have a Wooden Award vote. I don't have a Maxwell vote for whatever reason. I don't have a Maxwell vote. But I have a Wooden Award vote. But I was thinking about the Heisman Trophy earlier today. And I know he's just a freshman. But this has been a year where nobody's really stood out. And please do not argue with me that the Notre Dame linebacker is the best player in the country. Okay? All right? I've watched him. He's really, really good. I'd take Michael Mauti. Mauti on special teams, Mauti in pass coverage. I don't care how many interceptions this kid has. I think he has a couple more interceptions than Mauti does. Part of it is they won't throw near Mauti. Just won't do it. Mauti's just too good. The way he attacks, the way he plays, the way he's around the football, Mauti's just been great. You know, the Notre Dame kid, you know, if he's a linebacker at Ohio State, or he's a linebacker at Penn State, they're not talking about him. But he is the best player on a high-profile team that's having an awesome year. Notre Dame deserves the success it's had this year. So this is nothing against Notre Dame. This is nothing against the young man in question. And that's why they created the Butkus Award. But I know Johnny Manziel is just a freshman. But look at what he's done this year. First of all, he made Sarah look like a genius. In the end, isn't that the most important thing?
I mean, yes. He's got my vote, if that's what you're asking me.
But he is... He's having a phenomenal year. Now, let's see what Johnny Football has done so far this year. 2,780 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, six interceptions. Now, this is in the SEC. And admittedly, his numbers are actually relatively close to Matt McGloin's. I think he has 110 yards more passing, and he has one fewer touchdown. He has two more interceptions. He didn't play the first game, though. He threw for 294 against SMU, 453 against Arkansas, 395 against Louisiana Tech, 276 against LSU, 260 against Auburn, 311 against Mississippi State, and 253 against Alabama. And rushing-wise, he has five 100-yard rushing games this season and two others over 90. I mean, this is phenomenal stuff. I mean, phenomenal stuff. You're talking, I mean, five 100-yard rushing games? I mean, the guy has rushed for 1,014 yards and 15 touchdowns. He's passed for 2,780 yards and 18 touchdowns. He's accounted for 33 touchdowns and 3,800 yards on offense. Okay. So now let's take it to the next level. Colin Klein, the guy everybody right now seems to have in the lead. Okay. Colin Klein's had a fine year. Obviously, he wouldn't be in the lead, and obviously his team's ranked number one. But he has, so far this year, 700 fewer yards passing, six fewer touchdowns, 12 to 18, three interceptions. So he's taking good care of the ball. He's hitting 70% of his passes. Very impressive. His big games, let's see. Threw for 210 against Miami of Florida. Threw for 149 against Oklahoma. 323 against West Virginia, but then again, doesn't everybody. 233 Texas Tech, 245 against Oklahoma State, 145 against TCU. He's had two 100-yard rushing games this year. Hurst says Klein needs a big win. They beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma.
My question is, do you think there's a stigma giving the Heisman to a freshman?
Sure there is. There's a huge stigma giving a Heisman to a freshman. Huge. But this guy right now is in the lead. If you ask pollsters, Johnny Manziel may be a freshman, but I think you just give the trophy to whomever. I mean, Purvis Ellison won the MOP in basketball in 1986, so they gave it to a freshman way back then. Rushing 748 yards. Well, he's rushed for 19 touchdowns this year, though. So he has four more rushing touchdowns than Johnny Football. And six fewer touchdown passes. And he is rushed for 748 yards. Now, the knock against Johnny Manziel, though, is going to be that for the first time this year, in a big game, a high-profile game, he played a complete game all, you know, and his team did for 60 minutes. The problem that he's had to this point until the Alabama game had been that Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel are awesome and incredible in the first half and then adjusted to in the second half. Her's trying to participate by way of text. He has most of the teams in the conference correct. All right. So.
Well, that's a small win.
Well, no. I mean, it's better than February. All right. So those are the guys that are the front runners. Okay. Now you take... Okay, Teo, who has an incredible story, without question. He wants the Oregon kid, Barner. I mean, it's interesting the kid's name is Barner because that's close to Barnum and Bailey, which is what Oregon runs. let's see. Teo, let's see, they're talking legacy, blah, 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 blah. One of the Nagurski finalists, he should be. He's fabulous. He's had a great year. He's a fabulous player, without doubt. And everyone knows he has an interesting story. 2011 FBS Independent Defensive Player of the Year. That means he beat out kids from Army, Navy, and BYU. All right. Okay, fine. But he's had a great career. But you look at his numbers and what he's done, he and Mahdi are very close in terms of numbers. Let's see. What does he have so far this year? Let's see. He has 92 tackles, so he has one fewer than Mahdi. 5.5 tackles for losses, same as Mahdi. 1.5 sacks, fewer than Mahdi. 6 interceptions, Mahdi has 3. 2 fumble recoveries, same as Mahdi. Mahdi's forced 2 fumbles, he's forced none. Quarterback hurries, blah, blah, blah. He's had a great year. But is it enough to win the Heisman Trophy? No, it's not. I mean, you have to, if as a defensive player, you literally have to be all over the field to get there. I mean, all over it. And he's close to that. He's really, really good. I mean, really, really. I mean, this is not demeaning what he's done in any ways, but, I mean, Mahdi's played as well for his team as this kid has for this team. And a lot of this, we all know, is an offensive award that goes to a player. I'm just saying Johnny Manz in a year. Now, the thing that I'll tell you what Teo has going for him. This is a year where nobody's distinguished themselves. I mean, this is a year where nobody has distinguished themselves. And because of that, Teo has a shot. And sometimes that happens. You know, when John Cappelletti won the Heisman Trophy in 1973, you know who the runner-up was? John Hicks, the offensive guard from Ohio State. And this is a year for Manti Te'o, where nobody has distinguished himself. Colin Klein has had a really good year. Has he distinguished himself? I mean, we don't really get to see a lot of Kansas State on TV. Johnny Manziel has suddenly vaulted in the last few weeks, the Johnny football deal. He's exciting to watch. He might be the most exciting player in the game to watch. But again, as Sarah mentioned, he's a freshman. He's a freshman.
I just wonder how much that really contributes to it. I don't know about the voting, but
I agree with you. I think you made a great point. Sarah, I agree with you. I think being a freshman is going to work against him. Should it? The Heisman shouldn't be a lifetime achievement award. And it doesn't always go to the best player. I mean, let's face it, the year Jason White won it, the best player was Larry Fitzgerald of Pitt. Yes, I can admit a Pitt guy was the best player. So, I think that, and Tao might be the best player. I don't, but again, I see Maudy out there, if you gave me a choice between the two, I'd be hard-pressed. But obviously, my prejudice would be toward picking Maudy. Now, the Notre Dame fans listening out there right now, we have a lot of Notre Dame fans that listen, they'd want Tao. And they, and their choice would be as justified as my choice. I'd love to have them both. I think Tao's going to be a pretty good pro. I think Maudy's going to be a pretty good pro, too. But a lot of times an offensive player is the guy in the mix. The kid from Oregon certainly is interesting. Lee, the wide receiver from USC, interesting. But I think Manziel suddenly has put himself in a spot where Texas A&M can come down the stretch the next 2 weeks and play really well. Might be enough. Now, Klein plays for the number one team in the country. That helps. He is a huge reason why they're the number one team in the country. And when you throw for 12 touchdowns and you run for 19, that's 31 touchdowns. Not bad. Come back to wrap it up in a moment. Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We'll close it out on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. All right, final few minutes of the show here. And when we get to Heisman weekend, we will make our Heisman picks as part of our Pick Fridays.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's... Now, Monte Ball, who finished fifth last year in the Heisman, will be in Beaver Stadium next Saturday when Wisconsin comes in. Not going to make it in the top five this year because slow start after the beating he took in the street in Madison and the concussion he suffered, and then he had a problem earlier in the year with another mild concussion. But is now roaring down the stretch. Would you realize Wisconsin played Indiana last week? You know how many times Wisconsin threw the football? 7 times. I mean, that's 1970s football. 7 pass attempts. Kurt Phillips was 4 of 7. 7. And I'm watching this DVD they gave me of Indiana and Wisconsin, and I'll get one of Wisconsin and Ohio State. So I'm not really watching Wisconsin. I'm really watching Indiana. And there's certain things I pick up right away. There's certain things that they do. I mean, if you're an aficionado of football, okay, Indiana gives away all their blitzes. They give them away. Every one of them they give away. I can see it on tape. I can tell almost every single time they're going to blitz. There's certain things. I'm not going to get into how and why, but I can see it. I can see in terms of how they line up, how they're going to blitz, and where the blitz is coming from. You have to be better. When you get to this level, Penn State's really, really good at hiding and disguising blitzes. Really good at it. Very hard for a quarterback to get a read on where the blitz is coming, if it's coming. And Penn State will zone blitz, too, because they can drop off Sean Stanley, for example. And Sean Stanley's really good in pass coverage, and it's something he picked up at Penn State. It was not anything along the way where, you know, Stanley came here as a linebacker and they made him a defensive end. No, he was a defensive end, and they taught him how to do it, and he, you know, he's been really, really good at it. But Penn State really disguises its blitz as well. Purdue, for example, does not. And Indiana does not. I mean, you can see how they line up, being the positioning on the field, where when they're going to blitz and where it's coming from. We'll see if everybody else picks up on it. The people in the game, which I know they've been talked to about it. But you can see it. And that game is Saturday at noon. And, of course, but Wisconsin threw seven times. So the Heisman balloting, okay, Colin Klein, Johnny Manziel, Manti Te'o. I mean, that's what it comes down to now. Don't really see anybody else that can help their cause here down the stretch. I mean, Klein's playing for a team that's ranked number one. Now, the kid, that, you know, obviously the running back for Oregon's put himself in. I mean, he rushed for 320 yards against USC. That puts you into the conversation, the Barner kid. And Teo's on the third-ranked team of the country. Having a big game against USC would really help his cause. Just a thought. Would really help his cause. Johnny Manziel, you're playing the SEC. You can help your cause every week. Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit Rick online at rewfinancial.com. From the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. Danny Hale on the show tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.